Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's been all of 24 hours since we've worked together. Have you learned anything new since I saw you last?
No, just the usual stuff. What about you?
Not a whole lot. I'm getting really jazzed about tomorrow. We're going to be out at the zoo for the TEDx Peachtree thing, doing the live broadcast. That's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
So are you going to be out there doing some interviewing as well, or are you just going to come by and smile and look pretty, or what's your plan?
Just a lot of smiling. What about you? You're going to be there, right?
I'm going to be there, but I want to go in and listen to some of the talks. I've never done TEDx Peachtree. You've actually done this before.
I've attended. I've never actually hosted there before, so I'm excited about that, to talk to all the speakers directly. That's going to be awesome.
Are we going to interview some of the speakers, too, then, not just attendees?
Right, yeah, the whole... We'll be there for everybody.
All right. Well, I guess we ought to do our Thursday show before we go do our Friday show.
Yes, huh? Let's do that.
Well, first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman with VIP Orbit Software International calling in to us from Texas, Mr. Cantor. It is Mike Muni. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Well, thank you. Good morning, guys.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Thanks for calling in. I guess it's at least an hour earlier over there on that side of the world. Are things starting to cool off out there, or is it still really hot where you are?
No. I'm sitting here with a hoodie on, and it's a little chilly this morning, about 60 degrees right now.
All right. Well, we have a number of questions, I know, for our hooded friend this morning, but maybe one of the first ones we ought to ask is just, if you would, Mike, give us a little bit of a feel for your business and what kind of problems you're solving, what you're out there doing for folks.
Okay. I am a software developer, entrepreneur. My main claim to fame is I'm the co-inventor of ACT, the product that created the contact management category entirely that was the catalyst for the CRM industry. And fast forward, today I'm the CEO and co-founder of VIP Orbit Software, bringing mobile relationship management solutions to users of the iPhone and iPad, and later on the Android.
Now, can you talk a little bit about what you see in the marketplace of how people use CRM systems correctly and maybe also incorrectly?
Well, I'll come at it from a completely different angle. I think most people aren't using it, which is the opportunity that I see. And given the ubiquity of these mobile devices today that people are becoming more and more dependent on, presents an opportunity to them for the first time to realize the value of relationship management. Presently in the entire world, if you add up all of the main CRM and contact management players, and by that I mean Salesforce and Microsoft CRM, et cetera, ACT even, there's only about 13 million people in the world that are using it for business purposes, partly because of its complexity and cost. With mobile devices at a consumer price level, why not bring that same value to the mass market, the prosumers, I call it. So that's the focus of what we're doing.
How do you see how does LinkedIn play with this?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, as a user of LinkedIn myself, like most people are, I get these unsolicited requests from people that want to connect to me, and I don't even know them, and then you never hear from them anyway, and they just really want access to my list of people I'm connected to, and not only would I not probably do much with them, I certainly wouldn't do anything with the people attached to them who are second and third levels to me, because I don't have any relationship with them. I'm a relationship-oriented person, trust, reciprocity, time and intensity and consideration is what constitutes a relationship, and very little of that exists in LinkedIn, and even less so on Facebook, in my opinion.
Do you feel like, Mike, that we're better at this whole relationship thing than the last generation, or do you think they were a lot better at it than we were because they didn't have all this technology to get in the way?
That's a good question. It's both, and I'll just try to state it as simply as I can. In the old concept of networking, it was face-to-face. I mean, people had a smaller quantity of contacts, but they had a lot more quality of the basis of the relationship that it was formed on. In today's world, it's all about quantity and much less on quality. So, if I were to ask you, do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and how many friends do you have on Facebook?
Counting you.
Counting me.
So we have one friend.
One friend. Well, okay, I talk to people that say, oh, I've got 2,000 or 5,000. You know, it's really a popularity contest. And then I say, well, how many people do you really know that would come to your birthday party or, you know, whatever, would be there for you in a time of need? Well, five. You know, I mean, the concept of a friend is completely distorted on Facebook. And so it's really social me, not social media. It's all about me. In answer to your question, Stone, it's the older generations knew about quality. Today's generation definitely knows about quantity, and there needs to be a proper balance and blending of the two. And so the pendulum is going to swing back where I've got to distill this quantity and create quality out of it. How do I do that? So the IP Orbit is a product that allows me to facilitate that and really develop personal relationships that are about you, not about me.
Now, can you share a little bit about how VIP Orbit does that?
Sure. Well, it's a seamlessly integrated contact manager. You know, all the information I have about you, it's customizable. So I've got, you know, customized fields. If I'm the kind of person that I am, that for example, I like to know people's hobbies and who are they a fan of? You know, what are their anniversary dates and birth dates? You know, I like to know that kind of stuff because it personalizes it and makes me unique. I track all the activities associated with you. I can schedule unlimited calls, meetings, and to-dos. Once I complete them, it automatically archives that in a history file, most recent through the oldest, so I can literally stair-step back through everything I've done with you over time and recall it instant demand. But because I have limited time here, I'll tell you one of the major values of VIP Orbit is the concept of orbits. And Webster's definition of orbit is your sphere of resource and influence, which we all want, and we all want to continue to improve and enhance. And it also then has to be managed like anything else. So VIP Orbit allows me to create unlimited orbits, and then I can put individuals in as many orbits as is appropriate to put them in. So let's say you and I are business colleagues for our company. Okay, you're in that orbit. We go to the same fitness club together. You're in that orbit. We belong to the same country club. You're in that orbit. So that every orbit that I have, which I can think of, you know, and have access to instantly, is totally and accurately inclusive of everybody I've put in there. I don't forget anybody. And, you know, a lot of people in sales say the most important thing about selling is listening, and that's only half true. The real importance of listening is, okay, I've listened, but I've got to be able to remember what I've listened and recall it. And so VIP Orbit gives me that on my phone, instant access, total recall, complete accuracy as long as I put it in, you know, correctly the first time and only time, to know everything about you. So I might not encounter you for another year. But what if I could be precise in our talk this morning? You asked me about the weather here in Dallas. You know, whatever. I told you I'm wearing a hoodie. You know, you would be amazed at the amount of detail that I remember, and little things mean everything. And so, you know, I determine what's important to remember about you so that I can develop a closer relationship with you, get to that quality plateau, so to speak.
Now, does it play well? I know you were kind of poo-pooed the LinkedIn thing, but does it play well in social media? Like, does it integrate with my Twitter and Facebook and things like that?
Sure. Yeah, in everybody's profile, there's another page you swipe to on your phone called Connect, and on that page is Facebook, your Facebook page, and your Skype and Twitter name. And so as long as we're following each other on Twitter, which you obviously have to do, I can send you a direct tweet. And every time I go to your Facebook page and look at your wall or send you a tweet, it automatically archives in your file that I went there and I did something. Every time I make a call to you and, you know, what the outcome of that call was, that I have a pre-populated list of for things that I know are typical, outcomes. I just tap it, and it types it in for me. And with the new iOS 5 and the 4S phone with Siri that I trust you've heard about, I literally can now speak the data into the fields in VIP Orbit. I have to do so minimal amount of typing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a liberation from a keyboard.
Well, I got to say, with this Orbit concept and with the technology reaching to the point that it has, it strikes me that it's probably more fun to input data into the Orbit system. Having never had a real job, Mike, I've had quite a bit of familiarity with systems like ACT and Salesforce and some others, and I can remember where the thing would break down would be when I was just too sorry to input the data in the first place. But it sounds to me like maybe you've cracked the code here on getting people like me to actually sit down and get the data in there in the first place, because it's more fun and easier to do. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it is. Obviously, that's a relative statement, but I certainly think it is, because I don't view it as fun as from the standpoint of putting data in VIPR, but I view it as fun in that I've captured that information about an individual that I have the confidence I'll be able to recall anytime that I need to. The thing about the phone that's an unmitigated fact is it's with me 24/7, unlike any other product. And so, because it is with me 24/7, I'm now enabled in a manner to be able to do that, Stone. So that's what makes it fun. Is now I've got the equipment and the proper tools with which to maintain even more profound and intensified relationship management stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, a specific fun example for me: if I were on top of my game, I had access to the system, and I did do it, and I utilized the took advantage of the fact that I had this phone with me 24/7, I would enter in the fact that we talked about you having a hoodie, and the next time we ordered Business Radio X stuff from our T-shirt jacket people, I would send you one, but I would make darn sure it had a hood on it. I mean, just little stuff like that goes a long way, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole point is, I said earlier, little things don't mean a lot. They mean everything. I started my career with IBM back in the mainframe era, and my enlightenment as to the priceless value of this was a result of remembering to ask the CEO of a company how his skiing vacation went. That question alone differentiated me from my competition at the time, NCR and Burroughs, et cetera, because he responded to me and he said, you're the only one that's asked me that question, and all your competitors knew about it. That makes you a professional. It tells me you listened to me and you cared about me. So, yeah, let's have that meeting. And I ended up selling them an IBM solution because of asking an incidental question. Little things mean everything. And so I seek in relationship management to search out those little angles that other people might dismiss as insignificant. It's those things that allow me penetration. And I want to beat my competition like everybody else does, right? I've got to get ahead and I've got to stay ahead. How do I do it? I've got to think like a professional. It's hard work. I got to enter it at once. Yeah, if I don't enter it, I'm going to forget it. But if I enter it once, then I can forget about it because I know it's in VIP orbit.
Now, I want to be clear that you know that I like exotic convertible sports cars.
Okay. I will write that down.
In case we ever circle back.
All right. Now, who was that was talking, Stone or Lee?
That was Lee. And in case you're writing this down and we get together and you're in a generous mode, I just want you to know that.
I will be sure to do that.
I'm going to refrain from sharing what I like on air.
Okay.
That's a confidential conversation.
Now,
you
mentioned that it's available right now for the iPhone, and you said it's coming up for the Android. Is that right?
Android is in our roadmap. It's on the iPhone right now, and I do want to say, too, it's the database is on the phone. You are not connected to the cloud. You don't need connectivity to anything. It's on the phone, and it's all of $9.99 in the Apple App Store. It runs on the iPad presently as an iPhone product. Inside of the app is an extra $4.99 one-time cost. You can subscribe to back up my stuff. So when you're in a Wi-Fi zone, you touch that button anywhere in the world, like at a Starbucks, it backs up your database into the cloud as well. So if you lose your phone, it breaks, it's stolen, you get a new device, you can restore your database right where you left off. So for a grand total of $15, you can get the same value that it would cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per year to have on a more complicated system in the market for these 13 million users. The iPad version, the true iPad version, is going to come out in late December along with a product called VIP Sync. And what that is if I have both an iPad and an iPhone and VIP Orbit on both, I can subscribe to VIP Sync, and regardless of which device I input my data on, it'll real-time be on the other device as well.
Well, Mike, we have absolutely got to have you come back on, because there's a whole other conversation around tracking return on investment and relationships, and I've got an idea here. If you and Lee are up for it, I'd love for you to join us again sometime, and maybe let's also get on a delighted client and hear from their perspective.
Well, that's thank you very much for the invitation, and I graciously accept. I also have a book coming out with my business partner, Max Pucher, in January called Who's in Your Orbit? Beyond Facebook, Creating Relationships That Matter.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll have
okay.
a book to talk about, too.
Yeah. Right. All right.
Maybe we can take this conversation offline and chat about ways that we can help you promote that.
Sounds good. I'll stay online then when my session ends here.
Or Stone will circle back when with you
enter your orbit within the next 24 to 48 hours. But before we let you go, I want to make sure that our listeners right now know how to get in touch with you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
No, I appreciate it. They can email me directly, simply at mike@viporbit.com. And, of course, our website is www.viporbit.com.
Terrific. Well, Mike Muni, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon, buddy.
Guys, thanks much. Have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, see ya.
So I thought that was fun stuff. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah.
What'd you learn?
It's a good guy to have in our orbit.
That's right. I like that. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning is these are the guys from my favorite barbecue spot out my way, out where Johnson Ferry dead ends into Shalaford. We'll get the real address here in a minute, but I know how to get us there. And everything on the menu is wonderful. I already know to speak to the mac and cheese and the pulled pork. Please join me in welcoming from GC Barbecue, Robert Owens, and I'm going to say the last name wrong, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway, Gregory Vivier.
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
How's it going, guys?
It's going great. We're delighted to have you. Love the T-shirts. We were talking about attire a little bit earlier in the program. Love the T-shirts. Maybe we could score one or two of these. I'll see what we can wang-dangle.
I was hoping for some pulled pork.
All right. Yeah, I don't smell any pulled pork. What's up with that?
Come on, guys.
It's coming off in about 15 minutes.
All right.
They're delivering it? Is that what you said? That's what I heard.
Do we need to give them a break and let them go make a phone call?
We'll be right back.
So, but GC Barbecue, it's got to be a fun business, and I know you guys have raving fans already, no longer than you've been at this location, but it's got to be an incredibly competitive business, restaurant in general, and barbecue in Marietta, Georgia. What in the world were you guys thinking?
Yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher. We're getting a lot of good barbecue in Atlanta now. We're really happy about it because we're big barbecue fans.
Right.
We met each other about 10 years ago
when you were 13?
Huh?
When you were 13?
Right. I'm 32. Anyway, we were cooking together for a long time, and I got into barbecue about 5 years ago with Dave Roberts, who has Community Q, and fell in love with it. And Gregory and I were looking for something to do, and we just haven't looked back. It's been awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
But isn't the restaurant – I've always heard, I've never known. I've eaten at my fair share of restaurants. I've never worked at one, certainly never owned one. But the advanced story on the restaurant business, it's a tough business.
It is a tough business for sure. I've been doing it for 18 years myself, and the restaurant industry has been very tough the past couple of years now. And I think what we went for barbecue is, I think, the easiness of it. It's fairly laid back compared to a traditional restaurant. So
you don't have to be as good?
It's not what it is, no. it's more laid back. I mean, the hours, you know, you can actually enjoy a life with your wife at the end of the night.
You put a slab, I never understood this, you put a slab of meat there and then you leave?
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
It's cooking itself while you guys are on vacation?
Well, it's not just like that, but, you know, like pork butts and brisket are cooking for 14 hours, so we do that every night.
And no
overnight.
One's there? No one's watching.
We go in periodically and check the meat and tempt the meat.
Right.
He's the late night guy.
There's actually a fine art to barbecue, right, especially doing it low and slow. Going low and slow, you really have to check every piece of meat because every bit is a little bit different. So you have the rub, which consists of 14 different spices, and your blend, and that's kind of your flavor and take on it. We do the traditional 14 hours to 16 hours. We don't do these boxes where, you know, you're doing high heat for 400 degrees and, you know, cooking once a week and, you know, bringing it up in sauce and cooking it.
Your facial expression suggests that some lesser people in the arena might be doing that.
Yeah.
Putting it in a crock pot. That's not how you guys do it.
I've met some people who cook once a week and it scares me.
Once a week?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yes. And people eat it all the time.
Really?
Wow.
Well, that's that's why our meat doesn't have any sauce on it. I want you to taste the meat itself and the work that right. we put into it, and that's why we do it fresh.
That's why they're grand champions.
That's right.
That's right. I want to clear something up right now, because I caught this caught my eye the last time I was in, which I'm there weekly. You guys mm-hmm. can attest to that at least. And you have this graphic on your shirts, but Lee, a Boston butt. Where would you put a Boston butt on a peg?
On the northeast. Is that where it is?
The graphic I'm looking at suggests that it's up toward the shoulder. Talk us through that. Talk us through the cuts anyway.
Well, the Boston butt is actually the butt of the shoulder. You have
the butt of the misleading as hell.
The picnic and then the Boston butt. And we use the Boston butt.
Exclusively?
Yeah.
But it's up by the shoulder. It's not anywhere near the butt.
It's the butt of the shoulder.
It's the butt of the ham.
The butt is the ham. And then the ribs are
the legs.
Right.
The ribs are before the bacon. Can you walk us through some of the cuts?
Where's bacon?
Or at least the cuts you guys fool with?
Well, yeah, we use baby back, which is right off the loin. It's a great cut, more expensive cut, but you get a little less meat, but they're more tender than, say, a St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the Boston pork butts. We also do beef brisket, which is from the cow, not the pig. And we do chicken. And those are
the meats
that we use.
Is there anything called the Georgia?
The Georgia? Not yet, but we're working on it.
Can I work on that?
It took me like 6 trips to try anything other than the pulled pork, just because it was so darn good. I knew how good that was. And it took me forever to try anything else. And then these guys are great supporters of our community out that way, too. So as most of our listeners know, I'm a cheer mom.
Yes.
And I was at the cheer event that we had to host. And you guys, your mac and cheese and your pulled pork was there. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got a taste of the mac and cheese. And, oh, my, that's heaven.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's got some smoked gouda in it, some cheddar, some
jack.
Do you
smoke the gouda?
Some parmesan. We don't smoke the gouda.
No, okay. Some people smoke their own gouda.
Nope. We leave that to the pros. We smoke the pig. That's what we're good at.
Smoke the pig.
How do you staff a restaurant? Friends and family early on? Because turnover just kill you in a small business, won't it?
Yeah. Being in a barbecue, you don't have to have so much overhead, especially when we do service at the counter. So basically you place your order at the counter and then we'll bring the food out to you. So you don't really have a full service. So staffing wise is pretty easy, and that's one of the advantage of a barbecue as well.
This guy likes simple. I can see that.
You know, that's the thing. I've been in restaurant for, like I said, 18 years. We're getting to that age where you kind of want to take it easier. So definitely that's where I'm happy with barbecue, and it's good food too as well. So
now, how important is it to like attend those competitions? You guys do that?
Yeah, we're going to be getting into that a little bit more. Some think, you know, that's the world. You have other people who compete on a weekly basis, monthly basis, and they lose sight of the restaurant.
Right. It's and that balance. Right.
And that's why we went with the Grand Champion name, because that's what we do at the restaurant. Every day.
That's
what we strive for. Exactly. Every day. And, I mean, I know some people who've got more awards than, you know, I'll ever hold. But when it comes to their restaurant, I don't care for it, neither do the people I've talked to. And
what about a signature sauce? How important is that?
Very.
That's
very.
Like a critical thing?
Yeah. And what do they say? The sauce is the boss?
That's true.
I will say, though, at least from my perspective, I particularly enjoy the fact and appreciate the fact that the meat comes without the sauce, and then I've got a choice of a couple of different sauces, and I do genuinely get to taste the meat, and then I can monkey around with the sauce. Sometimes I'll mix them both together, but when something comes slathered in the sauce,
then you're suspicious.
Then I'm thinking this is not class A
because
barbecue.
Because the meat should be a treat. But the sauce is the boss.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the thing. For me, a lot of times when I get barbecue and it's got sauce all over it, you know, it raises a question to me.
Right.
When was this cooked? Because it masks all the flavors of the meat. I mean, you're just covering up stuff at that point. To me, sauce should be an accent, and the meat should be able to stand alone and speak for itself.
Yeah.
Now, I would not, I got to tell you, I would not change one thing about your operation, but I do have one idea. I think it's a $1 million idea. It's sort of a stolen idea because my buddy Lee mentioned this about the pizza place that does something down in South Florida. Tell him what the pizza place does, and then I'll tell you what my idea is for you guys.
Okay. The pizza place, when I was a kid growing up, when you got it to go, they would put a half a slice of cheese pizza on top of the box for the driver. Because, you know, no one wants to be the driver because that's like you're leaving the party or whatever. So they just give you that little treat. Then you're like, wow, I'll drive because, you know, you're going to get that extra little piece of pizza. Hmm.
So here's my idea. I know on your counter you have a box of moon pies. And they're, I don't know, they're 50 cents, 75 mm-hmm. cents or whatever. But if someone's coming in and they're getting a to-go order and you just threw a moon pie on top of the whole order, even separate outside of the bag for them to nibble on. Or another idea is maybe just one little rib, just something to gnaw on the way home. It might be a cool take. It might be a cool
touch.
That's
not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I thought the pizza thing was very unique, and I thought about that when I was in your shop the other day. So that's that might be worth what you paid for it, but that's my idea. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't change a thing about your – I absolutely love it.
We appreciate
and,
it.
And every time I go, there's more and more people there. Mm-hmm. And there's – I mean, I'll go, and it's, the booths are filled – and then, I mean, there's more and more people in that takeout line.
We're getting there for sure. I think we just won the best mac and cheese of Atlanta in the AJC.
I believe that. That doesn't surprise me
so
one
we're
bit.
We're really happy about that. And we're just right now concentrating on the barbecue. And
well, and you let the Gouda guy do his Gouda thing. And then you've got the key lime pie. You got everybody knows the best key lime pies in the market are the
Kenny's.
The Kenny guy.
He does a great job. Great job.
So you focus on what you do. You do what you do. And then you capitalize on other people's, on other folks' talent.
And help other locals. So I think that's what it's all about. I actually grew up in Mountain Creek. It's my neighborhood where I came from.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we really want to be there. Gregory lives right down the street. And we want to see our neighborhood grow and the people around us that we really like. And
so this wasn't some cheer mom like cajoling you into this thing. You guys have this community focus. This you guys decided, look, we're going to go into this community. We're going to support it. We're going to be part of it.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they've been there for us as well. And we feel that there's not a lot of stuff going on right now as far as, you know, food and restaurants and the area. It's mostly chains and stuff like that. So we really want to bring something that we enjoy, you know, back to our community where we live.
Now, I know you guys really like to keep things simple, but is there in the back of your head any like new thing, like maybe in a few months or maybe for Christmas or something, you're going to do something a little different? Any new stuff on the horizon?
Well, we should be getting a new smoker actually in the restaurant is what we're going for next. So that'll change up the atmosphere a little bit, and it'll lead to more volume and catering. And
have you thought
stuff.
About doing like one of those like challenge things, like if you can eat this side of beef, you know, you get get a free hat or something?
Yeah, we've thought about it a little bit, and I don't know, we'll
you're
figure
still
it out
kicking that around.
Yeah,
because Stone's been eyeing that.
I got
I'm afraid that could get really expensive.
But you can have a birthday party and you can have a, you know, pin the tail on the butt, because I'm telling you, nobody knows. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks the butt is the butt.
No, you're right. And that's why we have those diagrams out front, so people can actually see what part. You know, there are some people who don't actually distinguish, you know, what region of the animal it's from. So
Right.
Cool.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you guys on the show. You know you're going to see me again in your shop. We'd be delighted to have you come back sometime. And maybe if you are doing some kind of special event or a contest, or if you get a group of people that that patronize you guys regularly and you'd like to bring them on the show and just sort of have, we'll just have a barbecue conversation, a fun, that could
be
a fun thing to do.
Right, or
be a lot of fun.
If you support a nonprofit maybe that mm-hmm. you guys work with.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you guys start to partner with a specific nonprofit, we'll get them on the show, we'll chat about that. And I don't know, maybe somebody brings some barbecue, it could be fun.
We could do that.
Well, I'll tell you, if you do that, there's a higher probability you come back.
Well, it'd have to be later in the day.
Exactly.
Because the meat comes off right now.
Right,
so we've got to
get them on like a noon show.
Yeah,
at 2
exactly.
o'clock,
noon show will be good.
We open at 11, so the meat comes off at 10.
There you go.
Terrific.
Fresh as can be.
That's right.
Before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you guys. They know your hours, website, phone number, that whole bit.
Yeah, we open every day at 11 o'clock. We close at 7:30 on the weekdays and 8 o'clock on the weekends. We go until we run out. That's the thing with us. It's always fresh. We're out. We're sorry. We can only do so much. And you can call us at 770-587-4BBQ, or you can visit our website at www.gcbbq.net.
Terrific. Well, thanks, guys. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, next up and last up on today's segment, I believe.
The headliner.
Mm-hmm. We finally have reached the headliner. From GWIZ is President and MBA Shelley Gaines. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Well, thank you very much. I'm certainly very stimulated. My taste buds, my mind buds. I mean, after all these great interviews, I'm excited to be here.
Well, I am too. I'm a little tongue-tied to try to say welcome to the show, Shelley, five times real fast. That's not as easy as I make it.
That's why we had to close with you.
That's right.
Well, I love the business card. I love the graphic.
Thank you.
GWIZ, tell us a little bit about the history of that name and what kind of problems you're out there trying to solve for people.
Well, I hope that after I work with people, they say GWIZ, and then they know that my website is GWIZ Wow after working with me. The actual genesis of my name, GEEWIZ, was born when my family and I, about 18, 19 years ago, were sitting around talking about my business idea, and I had a lot of entrepreneurial enterprises and inklings, and so we came up with kind of a double entendre. The G stands for Gaines Entrepreneurial Enterprises, and really what I do is I work with organizations to do training and executive coaching and assessments, and so we say that after I work with you, you'll say, gee whiz, you know, why didn't we get to you sooner? And then the website is Gee Whiz Wow, which kind of has a funny story behind it. So I got very excited with the GWIZ, went to the web, and found out that GWIZ.com is an X-rated website. So I could not get that neat URL, and we came up with GWIZ Wow because, again, it has kind of some cachet and panache to it.
Cool. So can you talk a little bit about how when a person, like an executive coaching engagement, what does that even look like?
Well, an executive, you know, executive coaching is sort of a catch-all word that a lot of coaches use. A true executive coach might work with somebody in the C-suite in an organization or with a vice president level and higher to help people. You know, a lot of times it's lonely at the top, and a lot of organizations or individuals hire coaches to help them work on issues that maybe they can't make very public, things that they're struggling with that might be impeding their success. They might want to talk about organizational issues that are confidential, financial issues. And what coaches do is really help people identify goals, close gaps, and also reach their potential. So it's not necessarily a punitive thing. Coaching is actually a very positive experience. And I work not only at the executive level, but my real sweet spot in love is working training and coaching frontline managers and mid-level managers who really touch the sales force, which is my specialty, and the customers.
So sales training, have you been in this arena for quite some time and done a lot of sales training, leadership training, or how did you get this thing off the ground?
Gosh, that's a great question. Well, it happened when I had twins, and I realized that corporate America, where I had been living for many, many years, was really not for me, that I wanted to break out on my own and have my own business. So I have a sales and a sales management, sales leadership background, and I felt like that was probably the best place for me to focus. So that is really where I started, and my business has been in existence for over 18 years.
Oh, wow. So you're not trying to prove yourself right now. You've got this thing figured out, yeah?
Well, I don't know figured out. It's a constantly changing, dynamic world, and I try to. I was fascinated by your first guest because, you know, everything's changing. You have to stay current. And again, going back to training and coaching, I very much believe that training can affect change, but coaching is really what solidifies it. So that's why a lot of my recommendations involve both modalities along with assessments.
Now, do you think that you can take somebody who has never sold before and train them to be good at sales, or is sales something that's kind of you're born with?
You know, it talks about leadership. Same question could be asked about leaders in a way, but I do think specifically regarding sales, that you can teach someone how to sell. There's a lot of books, there's a lot of methodologies out there around how to sell. the key is really, again, I'm such a big believer in coaching. The key is, how do you reinforce? How does someone work with the salesperson to model the behavior, to coach them and let them know, just like a team coach does? Can you teach somebody to play baseball, to hit a tennis ball? Probably.
Well, you can teach them how to hit it, but they may not be good at it.
this is true. So, you know, sometimes people reach their maximum potential and they realize that they're only going to get so far. But I think that with coaching and with the right management, you know, structure, that most people can be at least moderately successful in selling.
Well, in baseball, 3 out of 10 means you're in the Hall of Fame, you know. 2 out of 10 means you're unemployed.
I can see that. I can see where you're coming from.
I really like the focus on coaching and appreciate the focus on coaching, because for me, that suggests that it takes an event and really turns it into a process.
Well stated.
And so, and I've been on the periphery of a lot of sales training and some leadership training, but a lot of sales training, and I've seen sales forces get all fired up, have a good time, try on some new nomenclature even for their sales presentations, practice some key skills of asking questions and all that jazz. And I mean, they're not back in the field 72 hours, and it just, you know, the thing comes off the rails for all kinds of reasons. But I think if there were that ongoing coaching, that it really would help it stick, I guess. Is that your experience?
Well, there's a motto that says training for training's sake is really just entertainment. But if you match it or marry it with, I'm a big believer in assessments as well, so that people can understand, you know, what their strengths are and what their limitations are. But if you match it with coaching, whether it is working with a sales organization, a sales leader, or anybody, you know, I don't just work in sales, but I do find that that's really where my passion is. So I do totally agree with you that coaching reinforces, helps mirror, helps reflect, you know, what's working and what's not, and zeroes in on performance issues much quicker.
Now, do you find that you can go into an organization, let's say I wanted you to work with my sales force, and you could essentially say some of the things, same things that I've been saying for 6 weeks, but because you're not me and because you have an external perspective, that maybe the message is better received from you than it would be from me?
He's talking about me. He wants you to work with me.
Well, we can talk afterwards.
Can you fix,
be glad to.
Do you ever get that question? Can you fix Joe? Yeah.
Well, that is a funny question, and it's really actually a real question. I get called a lot to deal with problems that management doesn't want to deal with. And so I think you have to be very careful when you engage a coach to know what's your motivation in bringing them in, and to know that confidentiality between the coach and what we call the coachee is really prime. And so I tell the clients very quickly, if you're expecting me to be your spy or to do your bidding, that's not going to happen. I'm really there to work with the coachee, even though you're paying my check. So I think that the coach-client relationship is a very valuable one. And yes, it can really help move things forward. I think I got off track with the answer to your question, but I don't know. Ask me another one and I'll go.
Okay, I have one last question.
Okay.
Do you think it's better for an individual to focus on their strengths to improve them or to shore up their weaknesses?
Oh, that is a good question.
That is a good question. And there's so many philosophies out there around that. So,
but what's the gee whiz philosophy?
What's the I would say to kind of actually take a midline approach. I really like working on strengths because people like positive reinforcement, and it's a position where they can start seeing some immediate growth and feeling like they're making progress. But I think that if there is something that's really getting in the way of their success, they're not being considered for a promotion because they don't know how to communicate effectively, or they're a tyrant in the office and they've got everything else going for them, but something is really getting in the way of their success, then I think it's great to focus on one or two areas that are really tripping them up. And if they want to work on it. So if they're open to growth and open to working on a weakness, as you call it, then that's a great place to also start.
Well, I know I don't have the bandwidth to work on my weaknesses. I just don't have enough time. I'd have to go with...
I was told you didn't have any weaknesses.
You've mentioned assessments several times in our conversation, and I'd like you to speak to that a little bit, because that strikes me as something that could be incredibly valuable, but I can also see people, myself included, being a little bit leery of being classified and categorized and labeled. So talk to that a little bit, if you would.
And people don't want to be pigeonholed. So I can see where there is a certain amount of fear in it. There's two types of assessments. There's one that is a self-assessment where you, there's so many assessments out there where you get a chance to assess and get feedback about your communication style or the way you process information, the way you interact with people. And most people are very open to a self-assessment because it also provides a great starting point for improvement and as well as growth. The other kind of assessment are the 360s, the feedback, the blind assessments where people get anonymous feedback. Sometimes they want to know who gives the feedback, and with permission that can happen too. That can be a little bit scary, and that's why, because it comes out with blind spots, areas that you might have resistance to and say, that's not me, or I want to know who said that. And it turns into a chase for who gave the information rather than a growth point. So I think it's all about how you work with your coach and not get feedback like that in a vacuum.
I have another question, and I guess maybe we could categorize it as free consulting, but I'm just... I mentioned this in the last conversation. We were talking with the guys at GC Barbecue, and it seems like it's such a crowded arena. I mean, coaching, consulting, training, there's just got to be a ton of people in that market. How do you differentiate yourself? How do you go to market and sell your services? You've obviously done it very successfully for some 18 years. You've cracked the code. What's the secret?
I think there's a variety of things. I think that being a good networker is, of course, very important. But having the background and the ability, number one, to sell yourself, but also having the credentials to match. So I have great client references. I also am a certified coach with the International Coach Federation, which is a certifying body for coaches and is becoming more and more the gold standard for especially businesses when they're looking to hire a coach. And I have a background, so I try to sell into sales organizations because I have a strong sales background. So I come to the table already being able to tell them that I've carried a bag, I've managed salespeople before, and so I bring a certain level of experience as well as stories. So those are some of the things that have worked for me.
Cool. Well, what's the best way if somebody wants to engage with you to learn more? What's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Well, I'd love for them to contact me. My email is sgeyness@geewizwow.com. So it's gwizwow.com. My business line is 678-441-9449. And I'd be delighted to talk to anybody who wants to explore the world of training, coaching, or assessments.
And your website?
Is www.geewizwow.com, gwizwow.com, which is what we hope everyone will say when they're done working.
And there's information and articles and things like that, right? There's some thought leadership?
There is some thought leadership, and I'm in the process actually of redoing the website, so go there now and then return later to see some more.
And a Business Radio X logo with a recent interview.
Definitely.
You'll find that shortly.
We will be adding that. We will be adding that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thanks to all of our guests, and we will see you all next week on another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you.